Happy Hanukkah to everyone. Thank you. Let's have another class about Hanukkah today to help us draw some more ideas into the rest of the Yom Tov. We're only on day two. We got a long way to go still. So we have a lot of opportunities over the next week to still draw some inspiration from Hanukkah. Now, Hanukkah, in terms of the calendar, historically, is the last Yom Tov that we actually established. We have the Yom Tovim of the Torah. Purim was established in between the destruction of the first temple and building of the second temple. And Hanukkah occurred during the second temple period, which is the last Yom Tov that we established, you know, historically. So something about Hanukkah is supposed to be for us a tool to help us survive the long, difficult galus exile we've been in. I mean, thrive during difficult times. When the rabbis had the wisdom to establish Hanukkah as Yom Tov, they saw Hanukkah as kind of the ticket to carry us through for the rest of history until Mashiach comes. It's the final Yom Tov. So Hanukkah has many points which do contribute to this role. Now, Hanukkah does play a role in keeping the Jewish people strong, even in times of darkness and times of galus. I want to focus on one point today, even though I think there's many to focus on, but I want to focus on one point which helps us continue to be committed and inspired and dedicated, even during difficult times. Now, in general, you know, life has ups and downs, as we all know. There's good times, there's bad times. We have good moods, we have bad moods. We have days which are good days, and days which are bad days. And everyone has those types of ups and downs in life. When we're up, we have a good day, we're in a good mood, we're going through a good time in life. So we feel very, very motivated, we're inspired, we're focused, we can take on the world, take initiative, do new things, we feel connected. That's our mood generally when things are going well. Life moves just kind of more easily at those times. You know, we succeed, we persevere, and overall we're better in terms of the way we serve Hashem. You know, we're more in control of our own character. We don't lose it. We don't lose control of ourselves. When we try to daven, we feel more connected because we're on and up. We're inspired. We're in a good mood. We're more patient with people. More helping. More considerate. When we're on a down, so our patience wears thin. You know, we don't have the same amount of self-control in any area of life. The davening, if we daven, is not quite as connected, quite as inspired as it was. We're not considerate of others, we don't help others as much because we're in a low. When we're in a low, then everything in life kind of sort of shadows around us. Because life has downs also. And during those times, you lose your momentum. You know, you lose that drive to really grow and to change. And ultimately, during those times, it's also harder to see Hashem in life. If everything's going well, then one has a perception that God is with me. When things are not going as well, we kind of lose sight of that at times. You know, we lose sight of where is Hashem's hand in my life? You know, where is Hashem's miracles? Where is He guiding me? I'm not really sure. And during these times, we really feel kind of lost, or let's call it isolated or lethargic. You know, we're not motivated. We don't move. And again, it's natural. We have ups and downs. As individuals, as a nation, we have this. But the question is, you know, what do you have to do to combat these downs? During these times, you need to have inspiration. You need to have somebody that picks you up, you know, elevates you, inspires you. Those types of things during these down periods really keep us going. So we're going to take this a little bit into the context historically. The Jews were in a state of galus. Meaning, what happened? Let's go back a step. The Jews were living in Israel, doing great. 410 years they had the first Beis HaMikdash. That was after 400 years beforehand, where they had kings, they had judges. There was a sort of a high point of history. The Babylonians come in and they destroy the first temple. And the Jews are sent off to the Babylonian exile. So we were on a low. As a nation, we were on a major low. Now, this is our first time being exiled as a nation ever since entering the land. The Beis HaMikdash, which is the heart and soul of the Jewish people, was destroyed. We had no more kings to guide us. We were lost. As a people, we were very, very down. You know, we lost our inspiration. We felt very distant from Hashem. We felt rejected to some degree. And that was the attitude during the period between the first temple and the second temple. Within that time, there was the Purim story, which was a big pick-me-up in general. I'm not talking about that today. Purim's in a few months from now. But during that period, that 70-year period, we had the Purim story, which was an inspiration to us all. But overall, it was a downtime. You know, we were exiled. We were away. We were distant from Hashem and from His land. And, you know, it was a tough time for the Jewish people. So, and even when they came back, to build the second Beis Hamikdash, things weren't simple. The Tanakh talks about, and the Nevi'im talk about how they came back to build the second Beis Hamikdash, and they were still subjects of the Persian Empire. They had to build the temple while having guards standing watch. Nobody should come and attack them because the people around them were still not so pleased that they were coming back to Israel and building a temple. We can relate to that nowadays. You know, people around are not so pleased we're back in Israel nowadays also. But we came back to build the second temple. But that became a very inspiring point, despite the fact it was difficult. Coming back to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis Hamikdash was a major accomplishment. We thought Hashem had rejected us, but Hashem took us back. We thought there was no more temple, and then we were able to rebuild it. We still had prophets at the time who were guiding us. We had Ezra, we had Nehemiah, we still had Mordechai from the Purim story, who was there with us in the exile before we came back. We had people who were there to be our leaders, and we had inspiration. So we were on a down, we were on a low, but we came very inspired at the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. At the very beginning of that period, there was a lot of energy. We had our greatest leader during that time, after the prophets ceased to be, was called Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. He was really the first leader of the Jews who was not a prophet. He was somebody who was very righteous. He was a sage. The prophecy had ended, but he was our leader. During Shimon HaTzadik's times, we still experienced miracles on a regular basis. We know in the first temple period, there was 10 constant miracles in the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara tells us that Shimon HaTzadik was still alive. Many of these miracles were still taking place on a daily basis. So when the second temple was built, we still felt miracles. We saw miracles. We were inspired people. But the Gemara tells us, you know, after Shimon HaTzadik died, things started going downhill. Now, Shimon HaTzadik's death, I guess, is really marks the beginning of the Hanukkah story. Because that's when the Jewish people started going downhill. That's what allowed the Greeks to come into the land of Israel and overtake us. It was during that period of history this all occurred. So once he died, the miracles stopped. The energy, the inspiration of the building of the second temple, you know, dissipated. It was around for a long time already, and we had lost the thrill, we lost the excitement, and we had become, you know, very, very lax and lazy in our service of Hashem. So we became sort of lethargic, we became down, we lost motivation, we lost initiative, we lost the energy, lost the excitement, and we didn't have the vision of the Beis HaMikdash, of the miracles, which we had before, and we started hitting a low. So when we're on a low, it made it very easy for the Greeks to come in and influence us. When we weren't so dedicated to serving Hashem, when we weren't so focused on doing the right thing, when we didn't have the initiative to get up and fight against the tides of assimilation, so they sucked us in. And the Greeks were able to come into the land of Israel and cause us to assimilate the observance of Torah, drop keeping Shabbos, and all the different things discussed in sources that they came to decree against. They succeeded. And I think part of that's because we were on a low. Because we were on a spiritual low, we were on an emotional low, we lost the energy, they can come in and they can influence us in terrible ways. The famous commentator, the Bach, he says the entire Hanukkah story occurred for one underlying cause. I mean, every story historically, we have the historical, you know, cause and effect of why it's there. Historians will tell you, why did the Greeks enter into Israel? Why did they come in and decree against the Jews? We have historical explanations. But why does Hashem allow that? Now, that has to be a spiritual cause to every historical event. Why did Hashem allow that the Greeks could come in and subjugate the Jewish people? What did we do? So the Bach tells us that there's one underlying cause. That cause, he says, is called Nisrashlu Bavoda. We became very lazy about serving God. Very lax. Like I said, we lost the energy, we lost the excitement, we lost the motivation. And Jews were serving God, but, you know, just with half an effort, without too much excitement, not too much enthusiasm. No one was getting up and doing things with real initiative or real passion. Everyone was sort of like, okay, we'll do what we have to do, but they were on a low. They were on a spiritual low, and the excitement wasn't there. They were a little bit depressed. They were down, and that came out in their service of Hashem as well. So the Bach tells us that because of that, Hashem said, I'm going to allow an enemy to come in and overtake your land. That was your spiritual crime, which you did, that's going to be the cause of this occurring. So Hanukkah is the Yom Tov that we're celebrating the victory over this issue. The issue was we had become very, very lax, very passive, unmotivated. And Hanukkah was the battle against the Greeks who came in to attack us based on this spiritual cause. And overcoming those Greeks, the victory of Hanukkah should be a victory which gives us, you know, the opposite, the inspiration, the motivation, the dedication to serve Hashem on a high, and with enthusiasm, with excitement. So, but the Greeks came in at first, and they swept away so many Jews into the tides of assimilation. When there's no spark in your service of Hashem, in your learning of Torah, it's very easy to be swept away in other ideologies. No, the Torah didn't excite us, Shabbos didn't excite us, Kim Kosher didn't excite us, the Mitzvahs didn't excite us, so the Greeks can come in and they can say, okay, well, maybe Greek philosophy will excite you. Maybe you'll like to join the Olympics. Maybe you'll appreciate the great art of the ancient Greek, you know, architects, you know, that you can see the buildings. Maybe you'd like to study some math, and you'll like that more than studying the Gemara. Maybe you'll like that. And they came in and they succeeded. And many, many Jews, probably a majority at the time, became what we call Misyavnim. They became Hellenistic Jews. They took on Greek culture. They dropped Torah observance. And the state of the Jewish people was a dismal state spiritually. It's definitely could be compared somewhat to modern day America, where 90% of Jews are barely know about Judaism at all. Very few Jews these days are affiliated, and you know, they're swept up with American culture, leaving behind their culture. I think you definitely draw comparisons. It's not exactly the same, but we see it around ourselves, unfortunately. So at this point, when we were on a down, and they were able to draw us in and assimilate us, so Hashem said, I can't stand for this. So he waited for us to kind of step in. So we have this small family, the Hashmonaim, the Maccabees, who are able to step in, take the charge, rise up against the Greeks, inspire the Jews to come and fight back, and be victorious. So Hashem was there to help them along the way. You know, there was a long, bloody war, a very difficult war. And this tiny little army of Jews are able to defeat a mighty empire, which is very miraculous. But beyond that, we know we focus a lot on the miracle that happened in the menorah. The menorah burned for 8 days, it should have burned for one, burned for 8 days. And the miracles of Hanukkah were miracles that really we see as miracles of, you know, biblical proportions, tremendous miracles, enough that we made a Yom Tov out of it. Now, if there's a Yom Tov and a miracle, it must be quite a miracle. We don't just make Yom Tovs left and right. It has to be something which really was something to speak about. So the miracle of Hanukkah was a miracle which came in with a few purposes. One purpose was certainly to help to sustain the Jewish people. If Hashem had left us alone, and we all assimilated, we'd be gone. There'd be no Jews left. We'd all be Greeks, we'd all be Hellenists, and that would have been it. So Hashem had to make a miracle to save us, to allow us to continue on, to take control of the land, to perform mitzvos, learn Torah. We needed that. But the miracle of the menorah, as we've discussed in the past, was a miracle which wasn't really necessary in any way, shape, or form. The miracle of the menorah didn't save us. The miracle of the menorah wasn't what brought us back to observance of Torah. It wasn't what defeated the Greek army. That miracle was merely there.
Necessary.
Why? It's unnecessary. Even halachically, it's unnecessary. Right. If you look at many, many commentaries discussed, they could have lit the impure oil. That also would have been okay. Right? Yeah, Hutra B'tzivor. Many explanations as to how they could have done it with no issues. They could have just gone ahead, lit the impure oil, would have been fine. But Hashem made an unnecessary miracle. A miracle which is just to show us that I want to be here to inspire you. You're on a low. I want to pick you up. I want to give you, I want to elevate you. I want to motivate you. So, you know, winning a war is miraculous, but it doesn't necessarily show us and teach us how to be motivated to serve Hashem. If we're down and we defend ourselves, now self-defense doesn't always feel like I've accomplished. I've fended off the enemies. So Hashem said, okay, you fended off your enemies, but I want you to be inspired. I want you to pick yourselves up. I want you to become back on that emotional high, that spiritual high. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a very special miracle. A miracle which is unnecessary. A miracle which has nothing to do with saving your life or saving religion. It was just to show you that I'm here and I care for you and I want to inspire the Jewish people. So Hashem made a beautiful miracle for us to pick us up out of the dumps and put us back on a path of excitement, of energy, inspiration. That's the miracle of Hanukkah. So if you're looking at the big picture, we were on a high in the times of the first temple. There was a destruction, we're on a low. We built a second temple, we're on a high. Things start slowly dwindling, and we end up on a low. Once we're on a low, we're in trouble. So Hashem then fends off the enemies and makes a miracle for us to put us back on that spiritual high. When you know that Hashem is here, he's caring for you, he gave you a special kiss, something which you didn't need, he just wanted to show I care, that's very inspiring, that's very uplifting. And when we had this miracle of the oil burning for 8 days, that inspired us to say, okay, we can do it. We're energized, we can serve Hashem again. Now we feel much better emotionally and spiritually, and we can now accomplish, and we can do much better. If you think about the symbolism of this one jar of oil they found. They found one jar of oil that was pure, and they were able to use that to light the menorah for 8 days. We know that as long as there's a little bit of fuel, that you can kindle the fire. So the Jewish people, you know, they lost a lot of their fuel. You know, symbolically, the fuel was gone. You know, the energy wasn't there. But as long as there's a little bit of gas left in the car, you could still chug along to the next gas station. You know, just a little bit there. So Hashem allowed us to find this one jar of oil to show that there's still a little bit of potential within. Even though you're on a low, you're down, spiritually things are dismal, but there's a spark of life in every single Jew, which we can reignite and bring them back, and inspire you, rekindle that flame. So this little jar of oil is symbolic of what was happening at the time. No, most of us were defiled. Most of us were impure. Most of us were assimilated. Most of us had cast off the service of Hashem and the study of Torah. But there was a little bit of oil left in every single Jew that was pure. And Hashem was able to show us, look, just like this little jar of oil burned for 8 days in the Beis HaMikdash, if you dig into yourselves and find that oil, you'll also be inspired. You'll also be on a high. The pintel yid inside a person. You could definitely put it that way. And that was there. And as a people, we had this. As a people, there was still enough left of us to rekindle that flame once again. And so that's this jar of oil. And the point was that it wasn't just to save us. It was to inspire us. It was to motivate us. It was to make us dedicated once again to the service of Hashem. And when the Gemara describes the establishment of Hanukkah, when Hanukkah was first made, it says a very funny thing. It describes the miracle, and then it says, L'shana cheres. It says the next year, they made it into Yom Tov. So the commentaries discuss, well, that's strange. Why didn't they declare the Yom Tov immediately? They had just experienced a tremendous miracle, a miracle of proportions, which we would say are biblical proportions, amazing miracle. So why didn't they get up the next day and say, there's a new holiday that we are establishing called Hanukkah next year, on the 25th of Kislev, we're going to celebrate. They didn't do that. They waited a full year to establish the Yom Tov. So there's a lot of answers to this question, why they did it that way. But I'll give you the answer of the Sfas Emes, the Gera Rebbe. The Sfas Emes says a very, very important lesson. He says, when a person's on a low, when you're down, sometimes you can't recognize the hand of Hashem in life. You don't understand the magnitude of these miracles. You know, you're on a spiritual low, you're on an emotional low, you kind of block out everything around you. When things happen, you're down, you're cynical, you're depressed, you don't really see the positive in life. So you can go through a miraculous experience, but still just ignore it. You weren't inspired by it. You know, it didn't excite you. But once you start picking yourself up, and you become more of an emotional high and a spiritual high, suddenly you can see around you, you can look back and see all the positives that were there. And then you can actually spot the hand of God in life at that moment. So he says it took them a year to dig themselves out of the dirt, become on a higher spiritual level, emotionally be picked up, and then they could look back and say, wow, that was an amazing miracle. God's telling us something. But they had to go through a process of healing until they could do that. Until that point, they were too much on a spiritual low to notice the hand of God in life, and they didn't realize they should make it into a Yom Tov. It took a year to come to this perception, this realization of how great that miracle was. When we're down, it's something that we always, in life we experience, when we're down, whether it be spiritually or emotionally, it's hard to see spirituality, it's hard to see God, it's hard to spot miracles. Because really when you're down, just nothing seems to matter. But then sometimes later on, you know, you feel happier, you pick yourself up, you look back and you say, wow, there's a lot of special things happened during this time. I didn't notice them because I was too depressed to notice it. Then you can look back through that time that you were down, and you can see how much that there was, which is very positive during that time. You could tap into the spirituality, you could tap into the miracles, you could tap into Hashem's hand guiding you, but only after the fact. So this is what happened, this Sfas Emes says, that it took them, at the time of the miracles, they were still in a low. They weren't spiritually at a position where they can really sense these miracles were so important to make a Yom Tov out of. I guess even the rabbis of the time. But as time went on, and they got inspired, and they looked back, they said, wow, these miracles were amazing. We see God was giving us a very, very special message, and therefore we're going to establish a new Yom Tov called Hanukkah. And they can only do that when they were in a better place in life. But it took some time. That takes time sometimes. And we experience this all the time in life, you know, as a result of our moods or our emotions. It takes more time maturing, learning more, and then you can look back and see amazing things. But when you're standing there in the situation, you're just not attuned to what's happening around you because of your position in life at that moment. It's a very important lesson for us. It applies emotionally, it applies spiritually. It could be emotionally we're not there to recognize it. It could be that emotionally we are there, but we don't have the spiritual wherewithal to spot God. That we don't have the spiritual tools to spot God. But as we grow as people, we look back and say, hey, I think that was God in life. I think that was a miracle. I think that was Hashem's hand guiding me at the time. But it takes time sometimes. So that's what happened on Hanukkah. It was a process of picking them up from down in the dumps and elevating them up to a higher level spiritually and emotionally. That's what Hanukkah was doing for us. It's the same thing during the year as well. In the Jewish year, we go through cycles, the cycles of the year. And we have times that are sort of uplifting and inspiring, and we have times that are a little bit more, let's say, mundane, a little lower times. So in the cycle of the year, we had just about 2 months ago, we had Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, a very inspiring time. We heard the call of the shofar to wake us up and to engage us. We had Yom Kippur, which is a day which inspires every single Jew, a very, very deep spiritual day. Had the joy of Sukkot. And people at that point are very inspired. People are energized. You know, I'm ready to take on a new year, do new things, be a different person. I make my new commitments, and I'm going to change. But then we have a month or two without any holidays, just a regular everyday life, and we lose that inspiration, and we sort of fall a little bit spiritually from where we were when Yom Kippur was around. And Yom Kippur then becomes sort of like a memory in our minds. And I knew in Yom Kippur I made new commitments this year. I knew Rosh Hashanah, I was very inspired by the shofar, or by the davening, by the rabbi's speech, by whatever, I was inspired. And then 2 months later, it's kind of a memory in the back of my mind, but I don't always feel the impact. So this same, what we call hisrashlus, is laziness in serving God, which the Jews had in the times of Hanukkah, we also have in our year. In our year, we hit a point where we're hisrashel, we become lazy, we become more passive in serving God. We lose the inspiration. So we need a burst, we need a pick-me-up. We need something which is going to bring us up, elevate us, put us in a better mood. So what's that burst? So that burst really is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a Yom Tov the rabbis established. It's rabbinic. Stuck in the middle of the winter, in between Sukkot and Pesach. There's no Torah holidays occurring during this time of year. It's a time where many of us, you know, are no longer on any sort of inspiration or high or motivation from the Yom Ha'arayim, from the high holidays, and we need a little burst of energy. So Hanukkah comes in to inspire us a little bit, pick us up, you know, light that fire, and give us that burst of energy. That's what Hanukkah's here for. The different sources tell us that we know that the Yom Yom Kippur are a judgment period. The Hashem judges the world during those times. So different sources, based on Kabbalah, say that the judgment continues onwards after that. There's an idea of the judgment continuing on to Hoshana Rabbah, and then there's an idea that Hanukkah is the very end of the judgment period. So really, we think it's only 10 days. It could be it's 3 months, right? 3.5 months, because 3 months. It moves on. It moves on past Yom Kippur, past Hoshana Rabbah, through Hanukkah. There's actually a reference to this in the letters of the dreidel. The dreidel has a lot of concepts behind why we spin a dreidel. The letters of the dreidel, Gimel, Shin, Nun, and Hey, could be called an acronym for Gimel Shana, Gemara Shana, end of the year. That they really ends not at Yom Kippur, but it really ends at Hanukkah. I mean, the judgment on this year will go all the way through Hanukkah.
Excuse me, who believes this?
Who believes?
The source?
It's Kabbalistic sources. Which would mean that there's still a hope till Hanukkah, basically. I mean, that even if we did not succeed in what we did through Kippur or through Hoshana Rabbah, Hanukkah is still like a last chance effort. So, okay, this year is going to be a good year. Let's make a change. So when Hanukkah approaches, we have to ask ourselves, from this perspective, there's a new question for ourselves. The question would be, do I remember what happened on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Did I make new commitments during that time of year? Am I sticking to them? If not, why not? What were they? Is the inspiration that I had on Yom Kippur or on Sukkot, where I felt so inspired spiritually or so happy or so energized, is that lost? What can I do to bring that back? Can I relight that flame? Can I find that little jar of oil somewhere which still has an inspiration and relight it? Can I do that? That's the question we have to ask ourselves, because the year is not over yet. You know, we have a whole year ahead of us, and we want to keep those commitments going from Yom Kippur all the way through the end of the year. We don't want them to be lost. So even though we may have had a little bit of a dip spiritually or emotionally, and more on a low this time of year, Hanukkah comes in to pull out that spark within and make it alive once again and say, no, let's energize you. Let's give you this excitement. Let's bring you back to your feelings you had 2 months ago and keep them going throughout the year. You know, it gives us a light. It gives us a perspective. It's a boost. It's the boost for the year. It's like you have to fill up at a gas station when you're driving a long distance. This is our gas station. You know, we got the gas in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We filled the gas at Hanukkah, we do it again at Purim, we'll get to Pesach, but along the year, the Yom Tov serves as the gas station to re-energize you, to give you that energy. It's a new perspective that is supposed to be able to help us regroup and achieve once again, even if we had fallen from the times that, from the inspiration of 2 months ago. So we begin asking, you know, why is Chanukah the Yom Tov, which is to help us get through Galus, to get through tough times? And the answer is, well, being in Galus, when you're in exile, when you're 2,000 years wandering planet Earth without a home, as we are, so there's a lot of lows. There's a lot of times that we will fall, that we will be down, we'll be depressed emotionally, spiritually. We're not going to be with the same energy as we had when there was a temple. But we have to have some way to inspire ourselves during this time. And Chanukah stands as the Yom Tov, which shows you that even during times you're down, during dark times, Hashem will come and pull you out. He'll show you He's there for you. You should be inspired. You could find that one jar of oil within yourself and relight it. And it'll last longer than you think, because the supply is endless when it comes to spirituality. And that oil will be there for you at all times. And then you can see Hashem's hand in all the events, because once you're on that high, you can look back and see, I think everything was very meaningful. I think that Hashem was guiding me. I think that these events, even though they were difficult, were there for a reason. We can only see that from the high level spiritually, not from the low level. There are a lot of references about Chanukah. I'm not going to go through them all. But Chanukah is a day which many describe that Hashem will go even lower down to pull out Jews who are even on the lowest points. Meaning the analogy given, this is based on some Hasidic sources, the analogy given would be that Shabbos is where you invite Hashem into your home. Yom Tov is where you go to visit Hashem in His home. Chanukah, the analogy given, is that sometimes the prince will fall into the mud, and the king has to himself go down into the mud to pull the prince out of the mud. So that's Chanukah. Chanukah is where we fell into the mud, and you know, we were dirty, we were stuck, down like we said, in dismal spiritual and emotional levels, and Hashem had to come in and pull us out. So Hashem has to come in on Chanukah. He says, I'll pull you off from anything. No matter how far down we fall, Hashem's there to pull us out of that situation and bring us up again, clean us off, and inspire us. That's what Hashem's there to do for us. The word Chanukah itself, there's an explanation given as to why we call the holiday Chanukah. But the word Chanukah, the source of that word is the word Chinuch. So Chinuch we usually understand as education, is the word Chinuch. But we have a dual usage for it, because if you make a dedication, you call it a Chanukah Sabayis. When they dedicate the Beis HaMikdash, it's called the Chanukah Sabayis. So how does the idea of dedicating a new building, dedicating the temple, dedicating a home, how does that connect with the idea of education? I mean, in English, they're two totally separate words. But we have a word in Hebrew that doubles as both. Obviously, there's a connection between the two. Rashi says in the Chumash, he says that anytime you take something and you initiate it into the service of Hashem, that's called chinuch, that's dedication, that's dedicating it. So educating our children, you're trying to take a young person, you're trying to initiate them into the service of God. When you dedicate the Beis HaMikdash, you dedicate the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, you're trying to take something new and dedicate it to the service of God. It's initiation, it's bringing it in. So Chanukah as a holiday has that same idea, meaning that we have to view Chanukah as that we are rededicating ourselves. No, we had fallen away, we had become on a lower level, and Hashem says, no, it's a new start, it's time for something new. I can initiate you back into my service. I can bring you back into the inspiration you used to have. So it's like we restarted once again, we're recharged, re-energized, and that's what Chanukah is all about. So in our year, we experience Chanukah as a pick-me-up, historically Chanukah was a pick-me-up. In life, we need to always have those times that we view as these pick-me-ups. These times in life, forgetting Chanukah or any other Yom Tov, in life we have ups and downs. And the way that we get out of our downs is to have those things that really do inspire us and motivate us. Everyone has the things in life that give them that burst of energy, the burst of inspiration. And we should all have those different things. When we do feel that we're down emotionally or spiritually, we can come back to those things and become inspired. Unfortunately, in the world, many people will resort to drinking or to drugs because they need to have that pick-me-up, and they get it in a false sense, in a superficial sense. Obviously, our goal is to get it through positive spiritual energy. We want to be able to get it through, whether it be a Yom Tov, whether it be through an inspiring Torah class, whether it be through a Shabbos meal, whether it be through involving ourselves in an act of chesed, which inspires us and motivates us. Whether it be having a speaker, which we hear sometimes and motivates us. Whether it be friends, who we find to be motivational. And if we have those outlets in life, and we know that when we're on a down, we have these bursts of energy, that can change us, because we know we have somewhere to go when we're down. So in the year we have Chanukah, but in life we have to find those Chanukahs in life that are always going to be able to pick us up and inspire us, engage us. So we should all use Chanukah as an inspiring time, and no matter what we've done since Yom Kippur, Chanukah is another chance to pick ourselves up, become inspired, and recommit ourselves to what we had already thought of before, and move on to the rest of the year with that commitment. Happy Hanukkah.
Is Hanukkah the only rabbinic?